2020 has been many things and a lot of things it hasn't been. But one of the things it has been, certainly in my experience, has been a year of waiting. Waiting for restrictions to be over, for restrictions to be eased a bit, waiting to be able to spend that precious time with family and friends whom we have missed so much. Waiting to be able to return to those places or go back to those things that we consider to be normal, and we wait for that. Waiting for a vaccine to be produced and to be rolled out and to be available so that we could be protected from this virus. This is the first Sunday in Advent, these four Sundays that lead us up to Christmas, a time of preparation, a time of waiting. And if you look up the word Advent in the dictionary, you'll find that it's also the arrival of someone or something that is significant. The arrival of something or someone that's significant. And if you put those two things together, it's waiting for the arrival of someone or something that is special. And that's how often we feel about these weeks leading up to Christmas. That's how we shape them. That's how we think about these weeks. It's that time of waiting and preparing for the arrival of someone significant. And we do. We will celebrate that arrival. But it's not an arrival that may or may not happen. We celebrate an arrival that has already happened. We celebrate the fact that the Lord is already come. In a moment or two, we're going to sing the lovely hymn, Joy to the World. And it's not joy to the Lord world, the Lord will come. It's joy to the Lord, the joy to the world, the Lord is come. And we associate it so much with Christmas. The Lord has come. Let every heart prepare him room. All those things are little echoes of the Christmas story that link help us to link that song so much with Christmas. But apparently, when Isaac Watts wrote the hymn originally, it wasn't written for Christmas. It was his intention that it would be sung all year round to celebrate the truth that in Jesus Christ we have the arrival of someone significant. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Now, obviously, one of the big themes of Advent is always the incarnation, the birth of Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. As we read on through the New Testament in Galatians, Paul reminds us that when the time, set time, had fully come, God sent his Son. Some other translations have it, when the time was right, God sent his Son. And I like that. When the time was right, God sent his Son. And it's a good thing that the right time wasn't when the world had got itself sorted out. The right time wasn't when everything was good, everything was sweetness and light. The time was right when the world was still in a mess. The world into which Jesus was born was a world dominated by an occupying army. An army that could be ruthless as they oppressed people. Jesus was born far from home because his parents were forced to make the trek back to their home place to be counted in a census by this occupying nation. It wasn't a great place to live. It wasn't a great time. And yet, as we have sung, Light of the World, you step down, not into sweetness and light, but into darkness, into a mess. As David read for us, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. That's Jesus. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. The right time to be given a light is when you're in the dark. You don't want a light whenever it's bright and sunny and you can see for miles. You want a light when darkness is closing in around you. You want a light when you feel oppressed, when you feel weighed down by that darkness. That's when we need a light. And so the time was right for Jesus to step down into this darkness. I have to confess that when it comes to putting up Christmas lights and Christmas decorations too long before Christmas, I'm a bit bah humbug. But this year, in the season in which we go through this year, I've really appreciated lights. I've really appreciated seeing just those bright lights sparkling, and somehow they do help to dispel the darkness a little bit. But however heartening they are, they're still just superficial. They don't change the real darkness. No Christmas lights are ever going to change the unpredictable nature of a virus. No Christmas lights are going to dispel loneliness and the anxiety of lockdown. No Christmas lights are going to undo the huge figures that we hear talked about in terms of our economy, figures that I just cannot get my head around, and yet figures that are going to affect all of us in different ways. No Christmas lights will lift the weariness of constant statistics, statistics behind each of which lies a broken life, a broken heart, a mourning family. No Christmas lights are going to dispel the pettiness of party political point scoring, which seems to dominate our land. Christmas lights are beautiful, but they are superficial. They will never dispel this darkness. And so it is good that the Lord has come, that Jesus, the light of the world, has stepped down into this darkness. Over these last couple of weeks, there have been some really hopeful, some really good news about vaccines, and that is good news. And we need to pray for those involved in it, in the production and the delivery of those vaccines. We need to pray for that work to come to fruition. But the real joy to the world is because the Lord has come. I haven't heard it sung yet, but it's only a matter of time before we sing or hear the lovely carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem. How still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Dark streets, but hopes, fears met in Jesus, the light of the world, who stepped down into darkness. Again, there's that lovely verse from the beginning of John's Gospel, which simply says that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Eugene Peterson, in his paraphrase, The Message, puts it beautifully and says, the Word became flesh and moved into our neighborhood. Again, not a neighborhood that had sorted itself out. I'm glad that God didn't wait that long, because that would never happen. We would never get ourselves sorted out. Came into a neighborhood that was dark. A neighborhood in which not even his own received him. And yet Paul reminds us of this, that God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Because the darkness is not just about darkness that's outside, that's out there. The darkness is also about what's in here. And we've already sung of it. This Jesus who who comes to us, who is the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven. To all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. There's joy to the world. Jesus said, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. There is joy to the world in these difficult days. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. He's the one who will dispel darkness, not just out there, but in here. He's the one who will replace our despair with hope. He is the one who rescues us from our sin. He is the one who opens a way for us to be children of God. Speaking of joy in these days seems a bit strange. Seems a bit unrealistic. And yet, because of Jesus, it's very realistic. Because in Jesus we have every reason to be joyful. Joy to the world. The Lord has come.